even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed.
You are listening to Context, where the past meets the present.
Hello, everyone. This is Mr. Beats, and I am coming to you live. This is Context. This is a podcast that we do every once in a while. It's been a few months again, but I felt like this was a good opportunity today. So Robert and I decided to do this. So thank you for joining us tonight. Be sure to ask us any questions in the comments if you want to join in on the conversation. Tonight's topic is the NFL kneel down, and also the other professional athletes who are kneeling down in protest, silent protest during the national anthem. Kind of, we're hoping to take this trend and turn this into an educational opportunity, looking at the history of the First Amendment, nationalism, patriotism, and kind of seeing where the conversation takes us. But before we get started, I want to introduce my co-host, Robert Marshall. Go ahead and introduce yourself, Robert.
Okay, how am I coming through on the audio?
Perfect.
Okay, because you, as soon as you went live, your voice, I can barely hear you.
Oh, well, I'll speak up then, but go ahead and keep talking. I'll mess around with it.
Yeah, I'm Robert with Reading Through History, and I'm just glad that we're back to doing this show again live. Of course, when we do it live, something like this always happens inevitably every single time. But yeah, I could hear you perfectly. And then whenever you went live, I was like, Matt, where are you? And so I can't hardly hear you.
Okay, well, I'll speak up. They can hear me. So that's the good news. We got some listeners here. It looks like Luke says he has the right to kneel over the anthem, but there's a time and place for these things. He shouldn't have kneeled during the anthem. All right, that tends to be a lot of Americans' opinions on this. And we are talking, for those of you who are not from the United States of America, we are talking about the United States National Anthem. And let me just give you a little history on how this started first. Does that sound good, Robert? A little background. Can you hear me? Oh, no. Maybe he can't hear me, but everybody else can. Okay, well, I'll just keep talking then. So it looks like this whole thing started with Colin Kaepernick. He was a quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. And in August, he decided to silently protest by kneeling to the ground during the playing of the national anthem before a preseason game. So this was August 2016, so this season hadn't even started. And he got a lot of criticism for that. Reporters bombarded him afterwards. They said, why'd you do that, man? Kind of like that. And he said, I was protesting how people of color are treated in this country, especially in terms of the police and stuff like that. So I felt like this was the best way to do that. And some people were like, yeah. Other people were like, that's not the time and place to do that, okay? And even other people were like, that's, you're disrespecting. You're disrespecting the flag. You're disrespecting the soldiers who have fought for this country and died for this country. You're disrespecting our Constitution, whatever you want to say about what that flag represents. And so this was controversial, and it remained controversial over the next year. And as a matter of fact, Colin Kaepernick would not see a lot of playing time for the 2016 season. He was a backup to begin the season, despite the fact that he, in previous seasons, had pretty good runs. He led the 49ers to the Super Bowl, for example, when he took over as quarterback. But so a big reason why I think after the season he was not picked up by any teams, because he became a free agent after the season. A big reason why he was not picked up was because I think of that those protests that he did, the kneeling during the national anthem. And so he did suffer, in my opinion, from getting to play for another. He did, putting his own NFL career on the line, I guess you could say, for doing this. He probably wouldn't have done it if he would have known that. But the sad fact is that there were quarterbacks that were not as good as him that did make you know, second, third string positions on other teams, but not him. So flash forward to 2017, and more NFL athletes are doing the same thing. And then it peaked this weekend. I would say it maybe peaked. It might even get bigger next weekend. But if you looked at NFL games today, there were lots of players. The Baltimore Ravens kneeled. The Pittsburgh Steelers didn't even come out, I believe, for the protest or in protest during the national anthem. And a lot of coaches and even administration of these teams is coming out on the side of the players now, which is a big turning point. And I think what really made more and more of them do this was the president's response to this. The fans of the NFL should be boycotting the games until these players respect the flag. And so that's kind of why this has propelled itself into the news here today, really. So I thought this would be a great opportunity to kind of look at this in a historical context. So what are your first thoughts about it, Robert?
I don't know. This thing isn't coming through very well. I think we've got a very bad connection, because most of what you said there, I couldn't hear. It was kind of glitching and hanging up. And so I don't know. Can they hear me good?
Let's see if they can hear you. Let's go back to the, can you all hear Robert? Someone said LOL. Yeah, but I'm not sure.
It's kind of doing the whole thing where, you know, how it glitches and hangs up and the freezes. Could you hear Mr. Beat okay?
They could hear me okay, they said, yeah.
Okay, so maybe it's just our Google thing. I wish I could listen to you through the live feed, but it's, of course, delayed. So that would make it extremely awkward, because it seems like it just may be our feed. But, yeah, I mean, I can say I don't watch the NFL. I haven't watched it since the early 90s, but – you know, everyone knows who Colin Kaepernick is because of this. And yeah, I mean, it's, you know, when you're going to go social justice warrior, you kind of have to pay the price. But now my question is, you know, should he be doing it as an employee of the San Francisco 49ers? Because that's another organization, you know, you're not really supposed to make it all about you like that. You kind of get what I'm saying there. I mean, I know our employers wouldn't appreciate us doing something like that. And you see it spreading, because there's even like a little league team the other day. They were all a bunch of 8-year-olds.
Yeah.
8-year-olds, dude.
That wasn't their choice.
Kneeling, and you could see their coach. Yeah, you know, their coach telling and having them do that. So it is kind of, you know, it is certainly spreading. You know, the game in London today, I saw that Jaguars were playing somebody.
Ravens.
A bunch of them kneeled down. As you said, the Pittsburgh Steelers didn't even come out of the locker room. You know, one player did, who was a former Army Ranger. So I think it's going to hurt the NFL immensely, because, I mean, you're going to irritate an awful lot of people who already see – and I said I haven't watched since the early 90s, because I kind of have the perception they're a bunch of overpaid wine babies anyway. They're sitting there talking about, oh, how unfair the country is, and they're all making millions of dollars a year. I find that ironic.
Well, they're using their platform. They're not speaking for them. They're not like, we're kneeling in protest because we're mistreated as NFL players, although, I mean, there's justifications that used a little bit due to the whole injury, concussions, and all that. But they signed up for it. They know they signed up for it. But that's kind of sidetracking back to the why they do it. I think it's they're not doing it for them. That's what they would say. I think I was watching Tom Ritchie and Keith Hughes and Sammy from US 101 earlier. They just had a live stream just like we're doing. And Tom kept saying that it was narcissistic of Kaepernick and these other players to do this. Do you think it's narcissistic of them to do it?
Well, it certainly got him in. I mean, he was irrelevant before that, and he started doing it, and then he was all, you know, everyone knows who he is now. So, yeah, I mean, he got an awful lot of attention for it, but, you know, as you said, he had to know there were going to be ramifications for it. And, I mean, I don't blame someone for not wanting him on the team after that. I mean, I wouldn't want him representing my team, that's for sure.
Yeah. I think I understand how the NFL was very cautious about, because they knew that a lot of people were upset, and people are still very upset. I'll never forget, like, talking to some of my coworkers last fall about Kaepernick, and they would just cringe. They called him un-American, like it was unpatriotic, and I was just trying to understand because I was a little surprised about how angry they were, and I guess, frankly, I'm still a little perplexed by how angry these Americans are. I do understand that they think it's disrespectful to the troops and to maybe the Constitution. Usually they say the troops, the people who have fallen. But the people who have fallen, they would have wanted this, in my opinion. I think there was actually a famous viral tweet that went out today. It was a 97-year-old World War II veteran from Missouri who he kneeled and showed a picture of him kneeling, and he kneeled in solidarity with these NFL protesters, saying, "I respect your right to do that as a World War II veteran." So I think you and I both, I already know, we agree that this, obviously, the First Amendment protects this right. And, you know, the only backlash they should be getting should not be by the government. Goodness, that would be horrifying. But just by private organizations or individuals.
Yeah, the employers certainly can take. I mean, you're wearing the team's uniform. You're out there as a team, not an individual.
But, right.
You know, that's the main part. But
the Patriots, the owner of the Patriots came out and supported it, kind of not like full on, but like he put a pretty supportive statement saying, "Hey, anyone who wants to protest can." So I think, in my opinion, if the administration of these teams is okay with it. If the people don't like it, then yeah, I think the president is right to say, don't support these teams, don't watch them on TV, don't show up to the stadium. And I was watching the Chiefs Chargers game because I'm a big Chiefs fan, as you guys already know, some of you. And some of the Chiefs members did kneel. And I looked at the stands and there was not a whole lot of people in Los Angeles. I don't know what the stadium was, but there was not a lot of people that showed up for that game. I don't know if this had anything to do with it, but I found that interesting.
Which team, LA team, were they playing?
The Chargers.
The Chargers. So they have the Chargers now, and the Rams will. I know last week no one showed up in Los Angeles either.
So that has more to do with
the. I think it's always they cannot get a. You know, they can never have a successful team in LA for whatever reason. They just don't like football out there.
Yeah, so that's probably more the reason. But
it is the Rams, for crying out loud.
And the Chargers. No, the Rams are actually a lot better. But anyway, back to the First Amendment. Let's talk about, well, not so even much the First Amendment, but just what the flag means, because it is a symbol, in my opinion. It's a symbol that people see as sacred, which I'm always amazed by that. Because when I think of the word sacred, I think of religion, like religious idols or something like that, or like things that you would worship, things that you would keep in a museum and don't ever touch. But if you were to ask a lot of Americans, they would classify the American flag as sacred. Why do you think so many Americans think of it as sacred?
Well, it's one of the most recognizable symbols in the world, and it's been there with us pretty much since, 1776 or so, whenever they got the first flag.
Not that long ago, 230-some years ago.
That's no kidding. But we've always had it associated with our iconography of the country and the history of the country. But I would say, outside of the United States of America, it's not viewed very positively. At least that's the vibe I always get.
Yeah, well, especially the Middle East.
Yeah, it's the America thing, you know, it's us, it's team us and them, and something like this is seen as divisive, you know, dividing the team.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's
like
what I would say.
It goes to more about racism. So first of all, I differentiate the two by saying patriotism is love of your country. Okay. Nationalism is more as comparing your country to other countries. Like, my country is the best country, and I favor doing whatever is best for our country, even if that hurts other countries to a point where, because our country is clearly superior to other countries, therefore I'm going to America first in terms of our actions. Like, is that how you differentiate those two? Because I think people need to understand the difference between nationalism and patriotism.
Yeah, I mean, I said you're kind of going in and out there, but yeah, this is a, I mean, I've never really seen that as a nationalistic symbol, more of a, just a patriotism thing. Now, that's the word I always had when it was getting ingrained to me in the public school systems. So I know we used to do that a lot more than we do now. It was always about patriotism, and it was, you know, pounded in my head. You have, you know, assemble, respect the flag, stand up, do the Pledge of Allegiance, so on and so forth, patriotism thing. And I said I couldn't hear most of what you said there.
I was just reading Donnie the Nerdfire. Donnie says, why is the focus of all who's kneeling and should they? And none of the conversation is about why. And I will say, yes. I mean, again, we mentioned this earlier, but the purpose of them kneeling was in protest of race relations, for lack of a better word. I don't like that word race because I think race is a social construct. But yeah, the fact is that we've talked about this on previous episodes about systematic racism. How big of an issue is it? But they're protesting mostly, I think, that we're talking about the criminal justice. Like, if you look at prisons and arrests and stuff like that, I think you see a lot higher percentage of minorities in prisons. And I think that's the root of it. That's the root of Black Lives Matter. And it kind of morphed into various factions and different things, but I think that's, so yeah, it's right. That's Donnie. You're right. We shouldn't forget what they're protesting. But the fact is, I think I'm more fascinated with why so many people are upset with this. Like, it's a flag. It's a symbol to me. And yes, to me, the flag represents our constitution, our freedom. But I think it means different things to different people, even within the United States. And so there are people in the United States that see the flag, the American flag, as a symbol of oppression or imperialism or, you know, racism, whatever you want to say. And so, you know, there's people that burn the American flag in the United States. And the Supreme Court has said, as I did an episode about this, in Texas v. Johnson, the Supreme Court says, yes, that is protected. Until they get a flag-burning amendment, Americans can burn the flag and not expect to see any consequences for doing that as a form of protest and protection, or as protected under the First Amendment. Do you think have we ever talked about flag-burning, like, what's your opinion on flag burning?
I mean, I always tell my students it's ironic that people want, I mean, I don't like seeing it happen, but I don't think people should react when someone does it, because that's precisely what they're trying to do. Like, I don't even think Colin Kaepernick was trying to make an issue. I mean, if the media would have just left it alone, I mean, most people wouldn't have even noticed the second or third string quarterback over on the sideline kneeling down. I mean, as long as he's not running around flying the bird and he's not being directly disrespectful, I mean, he's just not fully participating. Because, I mean, the Supreme Court even said in the West Virginia cases, you know, right around World War II, you can't make your students stand up and do it. You know, they have the right to sit there quietly and not stand for the pledge if they don't want to. So it really shouldn't be an issue anyway at all.
Yeah, there's another Supreme Court case, Minersville School District v. Gobitis, I think is how you pronounce it. I plan on covering that for a future Supreme Court briefs episode. But that was the one about the kid who was Jehovah's Witness,
who sat down,
yeah, during the Pledge of Allegiance. And I actually, a couple weeks ago, this happened. A kid in Michigan refused to stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance and was dragged out of the classroom by the teacher.
Yeah,
he kind of like to a point where he hurt the kid, and I guess like the teacher got in trouble, which is good. But yeah, that is a constant that the Supreme Court again said yes, like you should. That forces you to stand up and say the Pledge of Allegiance. I mean, especially, it's not just freedom of speech, but freedom of religion there. That was a religious reason. And I believe for the kid in Michigan, that was also a religious. I think really? He also was Jehovah's Witness. That's what I read something that said that. I guess there's a lot of privacy there.
I saw his picture and I thought it was more of a solidarity with. So, you know, you shouldn't make assumptions because I just saw the picture of the kid and thought, well, it was a Black Lives Matter type thing. Maybe they took a picture of a random kid. It was definitely an African American.
Oh, you prejudiced son
no,
of a.
No, that's not prejudice. Jumping to conclusions.
No, I know. I know. I'm joking.
Because I've never seen a Black Jehovah's Witness, but I'm sure there are plenty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it totally contradicts what the flag and all that's supposed to stand for, because it's supposed to be freedom and freedom of choice. And you know, you shouldn't be made to salute something.
That's fascism.
That's fascistic. Yeah.
That's fascism. Yeah. That's
very
the opposite.
Fascistic.
My definition of fascism.
I see the pictures like Hitler's Germany, you know, where there's all those people doing the salutes. And there's that one guy in the middle of the crowd just standing there.
Yeah.
I've seen the picture hundreds of Muslims praying. And that one kid's just kneeling up, like looking around at everybody, like, what the crap are they doing?
Yeah, fascism is conform or else. That's what I tell my students. Like, you can simplify it with three words, conform or else. So that means it doesn't matter whether you're right wing or left wing. If you are so to a point where you're so authoritarian on your views that everybody has to conform to them, then yeah, that's fascist.
Yeah, and I mean, the resistance to the actions that Kaepernick and you know, increasing numbers of people are taking just makes it spread more and more. Like I said, they weren't making an issue out of it, but it's him, maybe a couple of teammates.
Which
it was contrived. Like, when I hate to get into all the conspiracy stuff, but it just seemed like the media just keeps going back to it again and again and again, making an issue of it. And that's how it spreads and causes all of this division and anger and resentment.
Yeah, well, people go back to their tribes, and that's one thing I would say, that it's Kaepernick. I think he never could have imagined how much of an effect it would have had, but I think it's the wrong effect that he wanted. Like, he wanted more attention. If you were to ask him, he wanted more attention for, this discrimination of minorities, people of color, with the criminal justice system. And what had happened, in which Tom Ritchie also brought up this point. I keep bringing up Tom because I found myself disagreeing with Tom compared to Sammy and Keith. So I was really listening closely to what he said. But Tom was saying, you know, he has failed in getting his message across, and therefore he clearly should have thought of a different way, a better way to protest that would be more effective.
Yeah, no one would have noticed it unless he was doing it there.
Yeah, that's the thing. What else could he have done?
No one cares about Colin Kaepernick since the Super Bowl. You know, the Super Bowl the 49ers got into and almost won, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
I think I watched part of that one.
You watched the Super Bowl? Freak.
Just a little bit of it. But I don't make a habit of it. You know?
No, I know. So
I wanted to see if it was the Harbaugh thing. That's why I watched it.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good one. Brother versus brother. And yeah. I thought the 49ers were a better team, too. They just didn't win. It was kind of the impression I got. And they got rid of their coach, and then Kaepernick started sucking, and then all this happened. And
well, but the protests that happened this weekend, or today, I should say, they were more of a backlash to the president.
Trump, yeah.
President's tweet, I believe. Yeah, so.
And his little speech,
which is interesting.
Down in Alabama.
Yeah, like, and some people are saying that, why is Trump so worked up about this? What's the big deal? Like, I mean, you know, he spoke more harshly of these NFL players than he did of the white supremacists, you know. And so my reaction to that always goes back to Trump knows his base. You know, he knows who voted for him. He knows that's who he should basically be, keep appeasing, because the people want to hear that. Like, he knew that a lot of people would agree with him when he said, well, that's disrespecting the flag, and if they don't like it, then they, you know, they need to boycott all these privileged athletes. And so I think he thought it through before he did it, clearly.
Well, I watched a little clip. It didn't sound very well thought out, but he kind of speaks off the cuff and stuff like that anyway. But yeah, I mean, I didn't see the clip. It was, you know, I just type it in and I found it was MSNBC or something. So of course it was awful. And they were like, racially charged language and divisive language from the president, blah, blah. You know, like he was up there dropping racial slurs, or it's what they made it sound like. And then they played the clip and it was just, oh, these privileged athletes. And I didn't think it was totally bizarre, but yeah, it is weird coming from the president. It did strike me as odd, but I think it's, you know, just if you're president and you see this stuff growing and getting worse and worse and worse and worse, you know, you don't want to be the president during an unpatriotic America or something when the country's getting this divided.
Yeah, somebody in the comments, Michael, said there's a difference between authoritarianism and fascism or fascists. I don't think that's true. I think fascism or authoritarianism is how
communist regimes can be.
They're fascist.
Authoritarian without they being fascist.
Well, that's the only way that communism has really worked.
That's more of an oligarchy than it is like a dictator.
But an oligarchy can have I think we have are similar to an oligarchy in this country. As a matter of fact, they've done studies on this, like
something
in many ways we
I
are.
I say too.
Yeah, but we have democracy to a point, and so it's not automatically. We don't have fascism in this country by far. Some would say, "Oh, yeah, we do," but no. I mean, you compare.
Pretty ridiculous.
Like, yeah, that's the freedom.
Comments like that, I always say, "Gosh, you have no idea what it was like," and even Mussolini's Italy, much less Hitler's Germany or something. Or
And most of that is because the First Amendment. The First Amendment, the reason why the Founding Fathers made it first, a big reason is they knew that this would be something that would protect the other Bill of Rights and future. I mean, like interpretations of the Constitution. We take it for granted, but I think I've noticed a trend, and I've actually I read an article about how more and more people, they've done surveys, more and more people are willing to further restrict the First Amendment in order to either have security or get rid of the
or
people
they
that
they
disagree
with. Agree with these being restricted, which is the scariest thing. I mean, the people you do not want to hear are the people you need to defend their right to freedom of speech more than anyone else.
Exactly. And that you're hearing it from the left and the right. This isn't tied to any political ideology. I think it's a general trend, young people and old people that are all of a sudden turning their back on the First Amendment and saying, yeah, if something is offensive to a point where I get very angry, then it should be banned. And this, we've been fortunate to have a Supreme Court over the years to constantly go back to the protections of the First Amendment. I just recently did an episode of Supreme Court briefs on Brandenburg v. Ohio about the Ku Klux Klan. I heard horrible things about the groups they hated, and they were protected. The Supreme Court protected them unanimously. This was in 1968. And the fact is that I think we do take this for granted. We can't forget that it could so easily be one day where it's our own speech that is that's in jeopardy, where we can't even post anything at all.
Eventually, I mean, you and I as teachers have to watch everything we say and do.
But that's our employer. That's not the government.
Yeah, but that's Kaepernick's employer, these NFL owners. That's the point I was wanting to get back to. I mean, that guy, I don't even necessarily know that he was a white supremacist, but he showed up at the Charlottesville, Virginia thing to protest him trying to take down the statue, you know, and people took pictures of him and put it all up all over line and, you know, online, and he wound up getting fired. You know, his employer fired him because you don't want someone with that opinion working for you.
So right.
Technically the owners, I guess, you know, could fire these players for their speech. That's kind of scary. But we certainly as state employees have to watch everything we do because, you know, it's even in our contract. Or it is in mine.
Well, and that's why tenure exists, mostly why tenure exists, to protect controversial speech that educators might have, especially at the college level. Like if a professor has a controversial idea, you know, some of the college campuses, you know, it's amazing how freedom of speech has been under attack on college campuses. That would be the last place you think.
Like Cal Berkeley. Yeah.
Yeah.
It used to be like the hotbed of free speech. Now you get out, you know, the professors will hit you with bicycle locks.
Yeah. Well, I do see this trend that's disturbing, along with the trend of the Fourth Amendment basically going away. The Fourth and the First, you know, like, well, people don't value privacy as much as they used to. That George Orwell, you know, 1984. The kids still read it. The students still have to read it in high school and most high schools across the country, but maybe they're not getting the same message that I got when I read it when I was in high school, because the message I got was we don't want to become a fascist country where even we can't even think certain things and be afraid of our own thoughts. You know, that's a nightmare to me. And I think we need the people that are getting so offended by these players that are kneeling, they need to think about why they are. And another thing, while we're on this topic, and this, you know, as a teacher, I tell this to my students, but one time I was at a Royals game, so the other Kansas City team that I'm a fan of, I don't know why, but although they did win a couple years ago, but I was at a Royals game with my daughter, and she was we came out of the restroom, and I was trying to get in a hurry back to the seats because I was like, you know, my wife and my other daughter were waiting for us, and I didn't notice right off the bat, but people were frozen. They were stopped. And then this one lady in particular, I'll never forget this. She gave me the nastiest look like this, like she looked like she wanted to kill me. And then it hit me. The national anthem was playing and they had all stopped and they all, you know, some of them had their hands over their chest. Like, and I did not conform. Okay. And so, and then my daughter's screaming and stuff like that. So maybe they understood with it. Some understood with that. But the fact is that I got some nasty looks. How dare I not stop wherever I was and put my hand over a chest and just look at the flag, you know? That was a little alarming to me. Like, I know we haven't always been like that. I know if this would have been 1917, especially 1817, 1817, sure, it was right after the War of 1812, but would it be, I know we didn't have the national anthem yet, but let's say
1900s.
That was after the War of 1812, and the
1900s. Yeah. We didn't have that at the time of the Civil War. That was
right.
Let's say 1920 something, 3 or 4.
That's when it finally became the national anthem. Yeah, Congress passed it. And it was actually, they stole the melody from another song.
Anacreon in Heaven. It's an English song, ironically. Very good.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah, it's arbitrary in some ways why they chose that song. But regardless, it is the national anthem. Let's assume they had it in 1817. If you would have told the average American that before every single sporting event ever, okay, we're talking even bowling, okay, even a fishing thing, we got to do the national anthem. And not only that, if you were to tell the average American in 1817, you better, or we're going to think that you're this evil traitor, basically. They would have been dumbfounded. You know,
they would have been like, what is a sporting event?
Well, but you're missing the point. The point is that, you know, like, the longer we've been a country, the more this nationalist fervor has risen, and to a point where now, if you don't conform with either the Pledge of Allegiance, that's another example, because at our school we say the Pledge of Allegiance every day. And even if I'm by myself in my room, well, if somebody walks by, I better do that, you know? Is it because I don't like my country because I don't say the Pledge of Allegiance if nobody's around? Or do I just do it because everyone else is doing it?
Well, that's one of the thing at school. I mean, people don't even stop and think about it while they're doing it. It's just part of a conformist routine. I mean, those kids don't even know what most of those words mean. It's just something we do every day for the sake of doing it. But it is weird because you said this nationalistic fervor, but it's almost like, you know, it's not like rising and growing in numbers. It's like dividing. It's like pushing. It's like a rift. It's like you're either on one side or the other, and it's just intensifying on each as the country gets more and more and more divided. It's like you said, the people getting angry over it now, but now it's just on this massive scale because it's celebrity athletes and stuff doing it. It's just bizarre.
Yeah,
it's like the media pushes and pushes and pushes the division because, you know, they want to sell newspapers or get views or whatever, but it's pretty dangerous. I mean, because we've seen it in places like Charlottesville already, you know, where it's gone violent. You see it with Antifa all the time.
There's violence on all sides. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hitting people with bicycle locks is violence. Attacking their vehicles with baseball bats is violent. Punching them in the face because you think they're a Nazi is violent. And I don't understand people criticizing him for saying violence on all sides because there is. I mean, it's everywhere.
Well, while
drag people out of the car and beat them to a pulp in the street just because they were white.
Now, they criticized him for that specific time that he said that. If he would have said that at a different time, like even waited a few days or a week or two later, it would have been just fine.
Even the guy but he that said ran it, over he, the no, woman let me finish. In the car
he said
got
it,
attacked.
No, he said it.
That's why he was driving away.
No, he said it after that. Right after that happened is when he said, like, the so right after the guy, the white supremacist in the car drove through the people, that's when he said it. That was the problem. When you say that this is like the false equivalency right afterwards, no, that's why people were upset. Of course, Antifa has
whatever he says or does. But I mean, you have seen where they were like attacking his vehicle with baseball. I mean, you would freak out too. I mean, he shouldn't have tried to intentionally run over someone. I don't know if that's what he did or not, but I've seen the first half of the video where they're sitting there beating his car with bats, and you're thinking, I'm about to get Reginald Denny. They're going to drag me out of the truck and smash my head with a cinder block. I mean, that's what I would be freaking out.
I didn't see that footage. I saw the footage of him with nobody attacking him and then just driving down the street.
CNN's not going to show you him getting
That wasn't CNN or MSNBC. That was just some random cell phone footage directly uploaded that went on Twitter.
Yeah, and you never see the whole thing. I'm not saying what the guy did was correct or right. Heck, he shouldn't have been there in the first place. But I mean, driving into that kind of a
let's hope that
going down all the way from Ohio just to do it.
clearly that guy had a. Some
the guy that
issues.
Organized the whole thing, you know, the white national. What's he from, Boston or something?
Yeah, the guy that was on Vice News.
It's like, why are you even down there in Virginia anyway?
Well, that's the thing. Like, the original protest was supposed to be to protest them taking down the statue. The original protest wasn't the white supremacists.
Tried to block it, and then they were like,
well, the white supremacists came later.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when I'm talking about white supremacists, I'm talking about, like, from across the country, like, trying to make this, like, a big gathering.
The good old unite the right thing.
Okay. Is that right? Is that – it's just – it's just straight up bigoted.
Everyone's just trying to capitalize on the anger tensions in the country.
Yeah.
Including the president, including Colin Kaepernick, including the whole lot of them.
Well, a reason why we're getting some views on this video and why people are talking about this topic is because of the divisiveness on the issue. And I admit that that's a big reason why this is what gets people's attention. And it's partially, I was like, hey, I've got their attention about all this. The NFL players doing this. This uses us as an opportunity to learn about the First Amendment and nationalism.
Oh, yeah. This is going to hurt the NFL a lot, and it's been hurting for quite a while because, I mean, there was the concussion thing. and football in general. I mean, there's a lot. I read several articles I was thinking that I've read here recently that could be coming up, including when and why we started doing the National Anthem at sporting events. I came across that one the other day, so I'd like to share the who, what, when, where, why, and how on that. But football in general, because there was the concussion thing. There's a whole lot of parents that won't let their kids play anymore. I've seen several articles where lots and lots and lots of peewee leagues can't get enough players and stuff anymore. So it's hurting. I saw where two high schools had to consolidate together, two rivals, just to get a football team fielded. But they talked about the concussion thing. They talked about the changing demographics of the country, that a lot of the immigrants, people from immigrant backgrounds, they don't understand the game, don't want the game, you know, 'cause they're more soccer or whatever. It's not about, you know, in these high schools, junior highs and high schools, like the coaches are having a hard time fielding teams, and they're going out to, like, the, you know, immigrants from India and people like that, trying to get them to play football and stuff, because they just can't get the numbers. You need so many people to play football, and there's just so many injuries and lots of parents that won't let their kids play it at all. So it was a pretty fascinating article, and it was like, well, it's just going to ripple up, because I mean, first you see it in peewee, that affects the middle school affects the high school is going to affect the college, and college is going to affect the NFL.
Yeah, that's American football is so pervasive, though, like it's still the most popular sport in terms of
people
ratings.
Stop going to the games, which is what I mean, ironically, Trump's supposed to be the economic president, telling them not to go to games. That's anti-economic.
Stimulate the economy.
I mean, at the end of the day, they don't have to stand there and do it if they don't want. And I've noticed it for years. I mean, long ago, I noticed the football players usually stood there with, like, their hands behind their backs, or, you know, they weren't doing this 5-10 years ago, even, because I always thought it was weird. I was like, why aren't they putting their hand over their hearts? Because I was just like, that's what you're supposed to be doing. I mean, you hear,
well, why are you supposed to be doing that? Like, who made up that rule?
I guess that David Bell, you know, we used to do the Bellamy salute thing like that, you know, before the Nazi thing.
Yeah.
And that goes back to ancient Rome. I mean, that goes all the way back to ancient Rome. You know, they would salute the eagle and the Roman eagle, I guess, when the emperor or whoever came out there, you know, the big shot general.
Well, I know why. It's because it's you want your nation to be close to your heart. Like, it's a symbol of being close to your heart. Like, that's the way I remember learning about that. But I'm just saying, like,
no, but I mean, you can tell the Nazis, you know, we were doing the Bellamy salute where you raised your hand.
Yeah,
out there.
Like that. Yeah.
So I guess we had to come up with something new, you know, because, oh man, Hitler's Nazis are doing so. Oh, let's have them put their hand over their heart. But it was weird because the article, it was like right before World War I broke out, or maybe even like 1916 before we got in it. But I'm thinking it was like early 1914 was the first. They did it at a baseball game. And it was just like supposed to be one of those one-time deals, like, hey, for the servicemen or whatever. And they got such a big reaction out of it, and all the people stood up and they're like, yeah. So then they did it the next game and the next game, and then other teams started doing it, and it just kind of spread. You know, it wasn't something they did for the first probably 20 years that we had baseball and college football and stuff. But once everyone else started doing it, it's like that peer pressure. It's like, wow, because I mean, we do it at our high school basketball games. Ironically, we don't do it at our baseball and softball games because they're outside. We don't have the speaker system, I guess, to do it. Or they'd probably do it there too. And you ask them why, they would just say, well, that's the way we've always done it.
Well, I noticed a big patriotic surge after 9/11. Like, growing up, I don't remember the national anthem being played before everything like it is today. Like, but after 9/11, all of a sudden they're, you know, and this is very expected. It makes sense. We came together, and this was a symbol of our unity against these evil acts that happened. And we just kind of kept doing it, like, ever since then. And like you said earlier, that's such a good point that, you know, we just mindlessly do it. Both the national anthem and the Pledge of Allegiance, it's like we don't think about why we do it. I think it'd be more effective if we were to cite the preamble to the Constitution or something, or say, hey, today we're going to cite the First Amendment or, you know, the Tenth Amendment.
Tomorrow we'll do the second, by golly.
Yeah, well, they're all important.
Well, talk about dividing the country. That would do it right there.
But see, that's something that's amazing. Like, we're divided on our interpretations
of... How can we be divided over our rights? But that's at the heart of what Colin Kaepernick, I guess, is saying. It's like, I don't... You know,
I think he chose.
You know, he's sitting there making millions of dollars saying it's a racist society or what. You know, that is weird. But I mean, I know what he's talking about. That's just with them being the voice. But I guess their argument would be, well, those other people are voiceless. You know, we have a voice. We have a stage.
I think he would have been more effective if he were to hold up a sign during the national anthem. He could still be, remember. Or this is what happened today. Like, if I was protesting, for example, the drone attacks that our military has been doing for many years, like, I would hold up a sign saying during the national anthem and so on national TV saying, yesterday, 10 children were killed by an American American drone bomb. You know, that would be more effective. That would be like, whereas all he did was kneel. Because of that, you can interpret that so many different ways.
Well, it's not even really that bad or disrespectful. You know, he's just doing it because kneeling is like kneeling. I mean, they do that when someone gets hurt on the field and they're hoping they get out. You know, Tim Tebow does a kneel's prayer. You know, he's clearly not praying, but he's, like I said, he's not doing anything gratuitous or disrespectful or shouting or running around, you know, slapping people across the face or so. He's just kneeling. But do you know about when he started doing that and what was going on? Because that was like probably way after the Michael Brown stuff, wasn't it? But it was after Black Lives Matter really started taking off.
I was cutting out at the beginning of the podcast for you, and that's when I said it was August 2016, so preseason game of last season's NFL season. And I will
probably
bring
well
this
after
up
that. Well.
It was, yeah, but this has been a trend for several years, like this issue being brought up. But last night, the first Major League Baseball player actually did it. So this is spreading to other sports. So I wanted to bring that up. A player from the Oakland A's, I believe he's a person of color. I don't remember the name of the player. I could look it up. You guys can say it in the comments. But he did it. And then his teammate put his hand on his shoulder in solidarity, I suppose. And but this is an interesting thing into something really good, like, because so many young people look to these professional athletes as, you know, they're inspired by them. They look up to them, and it's good to see like them like being passionate about a good cause, but the kids kind of stop at like, okay, what are they kneeling about? They don't know anything about it. Maybe they'll Google it on their own. Some of them will, but maybe if there would be a way where they hold up signs or something, say, here, you know, I do think it's it can be very effective. I mean, I get why he did it. I just wish he did it in a better way.
I mean, there is a growing movement to even get them to stop doing the national anthem at these events. Cause it was an ESPN article I read probably 2 weeks ago, and it was the, why do we even do the national anthem at sporting events anyway? He was kind of trying to present it as, isn't it odd that we turn this into some patriotic thing? And the more we do it, each occasion that we do it, it means less and less and less because it just becomes mundane or routine or something like that. I was like, oh gosh, they're going to try to get us to stop doing. Because I mean, if this gets to be enough theatrics, they'll just stop. Because, I mean, Pittsburgh didn't even come out of the locker room. I said, we just won't even be out here while they're doing it. So at that point, it's
also,
like, why are we even doing it? But it is, I mean, it is, you're celebrating living in a country where we can get together and do that type of stuff, that someone can get paid hundreds of millions of dollars. Heck, Matthew Stafford the other day signed $1 billion contract to throw a football.
But I question the motives of why people like stand proudly, like, you know, like you have some people singing along with the national anthem, like mm-hmm. passionately. Is that virtue signaling? Part of it's like people are just conforming. Part of it is virtue signaling. I'm a better American than you are, punk. You better sing as loud as me.
Remember being in junior high and high school, the Atlanta Braves games were on TV. I remember every time they would show part of the national anthem, I mean, people would say, "Oh, the land of the free and the home of the Braves." At OU, we do it with the land of the free and the home of the Sooners. Like, it's probably not even close to half, but enough that you can hear them shout Sooners instead of Brave. Like, at what point does the national anthem even mean? And they always, when someone goes out there and sings it, like Whitney Houston, and they just barrel it out, they're not even done with the song, and people are clapping and cheering, and which to me is way more disrespectful than kneeling and silence. Well,
if you were to take one soundbite from me tonight, I think I'm proud of this line, but are you ready for this? That line is, you can't force patriotism. But that's exactly what we kind of seem to do, is like, it's not patriotism if it's forced.
It's kind of like part of your, I don't know if it, I mean, I know what you're saying, but it's almost like it's an education in patriotism is what it is.
Brainwashing, indoctrination. There's a fine line, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, it's not like.
Let's be honest here. Like, and I know this is slightly controversial to say, but like, when you force a kid to say the Pledge of Allegiance every single day from kindergarten all the way, like my first grader knows it, and she doesn't understand it. She does it every day. Pre-K all the way to their senior year of high school, they do it. That's really effective at, like, yeah, we've got them on our team, right?
No, I mean, my students are always like, they don't even want to get up out of their seats to do it. It's not like we're turning them.
Well, that's understandable.
Anything, it can almost have the opposite effect, because, like I said, it just gets so monotonous.
And it kind of should be like, I think they should decide for themselves, like, their level of patriotism. I think, if the kids are doing that, which naturally teenagers do that.
They are high school kids, and it is 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I have to stand up. But we need to think about, like, how effective is it? Because, you know, it's with a lot of things. Like, when you force kids to do things over time, eventually either they're going to be completely on your side because they're just so ingrained, it's so ingrained in them, or they're going to rebel against it. They're going to turn against it, and sometimes in a really bad way. So, you know, like telling a kid don't do drugs over and over and over, not educating them on the full context of it, just, you know, that's it. They're going to eventually most kids will naturally want to rebel. I mean, so that's a part of it. But I think we need to keep thinking about what patriotism means. I mean, I always tell my students I'm more in love with our Constitution and our values as a country, because I know human beings aren't perfect. The founding fathers were not perfect. I mean, they admitted that that's why they made the Constitution the way it is. They knew that they wouldn't get it all right. And so that's why government power should be, why the Constitution should be amended, why, you know, so much of how our society works is not dependent on one person, but checks and balances, separation of powers, yada, yada. And so to me, like, patriotism should be an individual thing, like your love of your country. And so going back to the national anthem in general, like, we didn't have a national anthem until the 1920s. And it was like of this crappy poem that this guy wrote during the War of 1812. And B, it's forced upon people. To me, it doesn't seem genuine, like, it to begin with. And so
it's certainly not when kids are doing it at 8:30 in the morning and they're tired and they're
not just kids, adults, man.
Pressured to do it.
Everybody's pressured to do it. Like, but that's the thing. Like, I don't feel like I need to prove to other people that I love my country, especially since I teach American history and I love it. But I love teaching kids about, like, all the great things about our country. But the sad fact is, though, people over time, they forget the mistakes we made, and they forget why we actually, like what patriotism truly means, I guess. Like, and so I don't know, like, that's why I feel I always go back to, yeah, Kaepernick, he could have done it in a better way, but by doing it during the national anthem, that was, I think that was the right move, honestly, because it's a time when we're all supposed to be on the same page. Like, we're supposed to put aside our differences. And by saying, you know what, I'm going to bring this up now because you can all, like, we need to do something about our country now before we move on, I guess. Like, that was his way of saying, now, whether you agree with what he's protesting or not, or doesn't matter. Like, anybody, if there anybody were to protest during national anthem, you know, it got a dialogue going on. Sure, the focus was lost early on. Sometimes it came back, but regardless, that dialogue started because of the fact that the national anthem is so pervasive, and everybody just goes through it. Every American goes through it.
I mean, I think it's one of those things that there are the true, genuine patriotic, you know, blue blood Americans. But I think a lot of it's like almost like people that go to church and they don't necessarily listen or pay attention or take it seriously, but they go just because their family goes and they're expected to go. So they're there attending every Sunday. That's kind of what it is with a lot of people, I think, when they're doing the Pledge of Allegiance. You know, a lot of people don't want to, and you always hear their collective groan when you go to games and people have to get off their fat butts and stand there and put their hands over their heart and, yeah, I hope this isn't the slow version so we can get it over with quicker.
Yeah, I think a lot of them are thinking that.
It's the conformity thing. I mean, I can remember in junior high going to games at Southwestern, and they were doing – I can remember when I was a kid before the high school basketball games, always having to stand up and do it.
And something like this was unheard of before the 1800s. I mean, it's – directly related. I mean, sure, you know, you had salutes in ancient Rome, like you were mentioning before, but something where it was basically not necessarily about control of people, but just extreme pride in your nation, your people, your tribe, to a point where that flag became the symbol of that pride. And so people started saluting literally a piece of fabric. Like, and that fat piece of fabric became so thing. Very new thing, just like nations are new. The making a flag a sacred object is fairly new, and I will defend as much as, like you said earlier, I think it's to bad taste burning a flag, but I agree with the Supreme Court's decision that you should be able to burn a sacred object like the flag as a form of protest to send a signal to the government, because they get that message. They get that you're upset when they see that burning flag. It does resonate.
I would argue that most of the politicians probably don't even care that much anymore. But
they pander to their constituents.
And, yeah, like just like Trump in his speech down in Alabama. You know, that was, as you said, kind of pandering to his base or whatever. But no, it's just getting worse. And I agree. I mean, I always say I don't like them burning the flag. I wish they wouldn't do it, but it's the flag represents the freedom of speech, which they are exercising. It's like a bigger slap in the face to the flag to say, no, you can't burn it, because that's censorship and that's the opposite of freedom. Like, the flag itself stands for the freedom to burn it.
Right.
And I guess that's the national anthem itself stands for the freedom not to stand and salute it, because you don't have to. You're not forced to here.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I think these athletes that do this, I mean, I wish they would do more, like, other than just kneel during the national anthem. A lot of them are really active in their communities helping out, which I appreciate.
Yeah,
that I see.
That's what I wish these athletes to do a lot more, is helping the kids in the areas where they really need it. I mean, I know they do some. I know at some point it's even their safety. You know, you don't want them, because some of these neighborhoods – like South Central Chicago, you know, it probably wouldn't be safe for an NBA player to go walk around a lot of those neighborhoods. But it sure would be nice if they were trying to do more directly than that. And Because I'm in the same selfish at first with Kaepernick. But as I said, if the media would have ignored him, and it wouldn't have even been an issue.
Which is why it worked.
He might have talked a few more into it, and eventually if half the team were doing it, then someone might have said something.
Well, here it's 13 months later, and we're talking about, not only are we talking about it, but it's actually become a movement of sorts. And the president, by tweeting that yesterday and giving that speech
in Alabama. What did the tweet say? I saw the speech. What did the tweet say?
He called for a boycott of the NFL, and he says you shouldn't disrespect the flag. And I think in many ways that's actually made that more and more players want to kneel.
Oh, for sure. I mean, they just come out and say – yeah, several of them come out and said it, and you know Steph Curry, the basketball player.
NBA players.
Yeah,
that,
and he's
I'll there. Admit that was pretty funny that LeBron James tweet back at President Trump is saying he didn't want to go to the Warriors didn't want to go to the White House, so that you can't disinvite somebody who never wanted to go to begin with.
Yeah, and that was Reggie funny. Bush yeah, said. So, something like, I would rather kneel with Kaepernick than stand with Trump any day or something like that.
Oh, a lot of athletes are speaking out against the president. So a lot of these kids, they look to these athletes as more of role models than politicians by far. And so I think it's interesting to see so many athletes get political for the first time. A lot of people say that's not their
definitely
place.
Not for the first time. I mean, the Black Power at the Olympics and –
Muhammad Ali.
Oh my gosh, yeah. But there's a few other things I would like to talk about at some point that are kind of connected to this. But I mean, in one of them, it's just why is the mainstream media, the entertainers, the athletes, like why are those groups of people so far left all the time? Like we can't even have award shows anymore without them being political. You know, like even Miss America pageants, you know, they have to ask them all politically driven questions, left-leaning political questions. All these athletes, all the movie stars, entertainers, and the rest of the country is nowhere near that ballpark. Yet all those late-night talk shows, it's Trump bashing all the time. Miss America, Trump bashing. NFL athletes doing an interview, it's Trump bashing. Like, why? Why is that so prevalent?
Yeah, that's a topic for another show, I guess. I guess we can, because it's been an hour, so we probably need to wrap this up. But
yeah, that and you know patriotism or lack thereof in the African American community, I think, would be an interesting. We'd have to get. I mean, we're two pasty white guys, and we almost need a third person here. But because you see that with a lot of these athletes, you know. They see it as a racial issue, you know, with the flag or protest.
Lack of patriotism for a certain group of people. That's like a, I don't know. That's a dangerous generalization there. Like, cause that's a personal thing.
Well, I didn't mean that they're unpatriotic. Just the numbers of African Americans you see, you know, and they certainly have a unique experience in the United States of America. That's what I'm saying. And, you know, you see a few that are like, really, but you don't see an awful lot of African Americans that are your flag waving. You know, we got to stand for the flag, you know, putting it on the back of the truck type stuff.
I can understand why when systematically being oppressed for so long by the American government at the state level and the federal level. But yeah, good talk. But thanks for everyone commenting, and I appreciate the dialogue. You guys kind of chiming in. Every time I chimed in, I get to see people going back and forth, kind of having their own dialogue separate from what we're talking about, which is fine, but I'm glad you guys all were really in tune with the conversation. Otherwise, thanks for watching. You can listen to this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts, your RSS feed. It's called Context. If you just search Mr. Bead and Robert Marshall, before we go, Robert, is there anything you wanted to promote? I know you got that big book coming up, so you
want to... I don't know when it'll be ready. I just run into one wall after another. But I'm hoping it's out at least by the end of November. But it'll be called The Ashes of Our Fathers, Civil War novel I started when I was in 2001, summer of 2001. So wow. Hopefully it's out.
It only took you 16 years to.
Well, you know, I worked on it about 2 months a summer, the first 3 or 4 years. And then I went away from it, started other things. And I'd worked on it intermissibly here and there some. And then last January, I guess, I decided I just have to get it done or it'll never get done. So that's what I've been doing. That's why there haven't been a lot of videos put up on my channel, because I've been trying to fight my way through that.
And I don't even know if we brought up your channel, but if you guys want to find Robert's channel, him and his partner have a channel called Reading Through History, and you can just check my suggested links and subscribe to his channel. Still has a lot of great videos on there. You've been releasing a little bit, but I guess it has slowed down, hasn't it? But yeah, so thank you for watching. Stay tuned for another episode of Supreme Court Briefs this Friday. And it's going to be a good one. I'm excited about it. It was requested by my friend Will Fox. So, but yeah, thanks for watching and thanks for listening online. See you next time. Taxes and fiercely opposed a central bank. You're ahead of your time. You're ahead of your time. You were ahead of your time. You were ahead of your time. You were ahead. Your time. You were ahead of your time. You were ahead of your time. You were ahead of your time. He bought Louisiana, which doubled the size of the state. It was a really good deal, but maybe not constitutional. He sent Lewis and Clark to explore the vast territory. He never vetoed a single bill. Rarely spoke out in public. Thought we should be agrarian and our rights and alienable. Have faith in democracy. Strong best yoga, but he ignored the rights of.